Okay, we're on page 850 at Shishi, Pasuk Yud. The last thing we're learning was about the Nechash and Nechoshes. The Jews started complaining. Hashem brought the snake. Because what happened was Aaron passed away, so the cloud stopped, and they wanted to go by Edom, whatever. So the Jews got a kvetchi again, and he started complaining. Hashem got sick and tired. He brought the snakes. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, put up a snake. You know, whoever looks at the snake will be fine. If not, no good. Okay. By Yisro B'nei Yisro, the Jews traveled. Vayachnu Ba'avis. Okay, now that they weren't able to go through the straight path, so they had to go back a little bit, and now start going the long way. They had to go all around the country of Moab in order to be able to, like this, they were able to cut, as we'll soon see, through Sichon and Og, they would be able to cut straight through, but Hashem said, no, you have to start going back again. But there's a difference between here and in Parshas Maaseh. In Parshas Maaseh, he mentions certain journeys that the Torah doesn't mention here. Because here the Torah is only speaking about certain miraculous journeys that the Jews had that we'll soon see. Vayisum and Esau, Vayachnu Be'evis, they traveled in Avis. Vayisum and Avis, they traveled from Avis, Vayachnu Be'iye Avodim. They camped by the ruins of the passes, Asher al Pnei Moav, which were on the facing the country of Meir and the Mimizach HaShomesh on the east. Okay? So they basically started, Rashi says, I don't know exactly why they were called Iye Avodim. Bottom line is, they started going by the ruins of Moav. Misham Nasa, I'm going to learn, because all the bits are basic travelings. Misham Nasa, from here they traveled. Vayachnu Benachol Zodet. They camped in Nachol Zodet. Misham Nasa, from there they traveled. Vayachnu Me'evet Arnein Asher Bamidbar. They encamped on the other side of Arnein, which was in the desert. Hayetzi Megvul HaMeiri, it comes out of the border of the Ameiri. Ki Arnein Gvul Me'ev, because Arnein was the boundary of Me'ev, between Me'ev and Ameiri. Now, to understand a little bit what's going on over here, basically turns to where they traveled. What's going on over here is very simple. Later on in Chumash, we're going to see, Hashem says, don't start up with Moav. The Jews had no permission to start up with Moav, because they gave the Jews food, and Lot's daughters, you know, created Moav. Moav is going to be the mother of Ruth, mother of David HaMelech, the mother of Mashiach, you know, all that stuff. So Hashem said, you can't out-tatsar this Moav. Hashem said, you cannot oppress Moav, you can't have a battle with them. But there are certain countries, like Sichon, Melech HaMeiri, that had a war with Moav. And certain properties, certain areas, were conquered by Sichon from Moav. Now, once Sichon Amori, he was the king of Amori, right? Og was the king of Bashan, like we'll soon learn. And Sichon was the king of Amori. Once Amori conquered those lands from Moav, then the Jews were able to conquer those lands. Like we know, they couldn't conquer Sichon and Og. So, the Torah is telling us these boundaries to tell us that originally they belonged to Moav, but eventually they came into the hands of Amalek, and that's why the Jews were able to conquer them. Now, there was a whole thing that we'll see later, really, it happens later. A lot of miracles happened this with the place. Therefore be said in the story of the wars of Hashem, okay, meaning, when they're going to talk about the miracles that happened, because it says, Rashi brings down from the Medrash, it was customary in those days, like we'll soon see another pasuk, people used to write books of war. When they had a war and great victories happened or miracles happened, the Geisha companies would actually write a book of all the miracles that happened during the battles. And that would be called Sefer Muhammad. But they would write for Sefer Muhammad Hashem as Vahev Besufa, that was given at the Sea of the Reeds, Vasanicholim Arnein, and the valleys of Arnein. Okay? Now, most people, if you learn the simple pshat of the Pasuk, like it says, that these were places, Vahev Besufa, and so on. Now, the Me'amleyes brings down Ve'ezvoyev Besufi, he quotes Mephoshim that say, wait, what happened to him? Here, the Vayi Besufa, there were two guys, Vohev and S. What happened over here is like this. Let me explain the whole story out there, because if you take each project simply, it's very difficult. There were two mountains when the Jews had to go through. Okay? Now, the Jewish camp was 12 mil by 12 mil. Okay? 1 mil, like we learned, is 2,000 amis. Let's say 4,000 feet to make it easy. Okay? 4,000 feet is 1 mil. The Jewish camp was 12 mil, so it's 48,000 feet by 48,000 feet. They actually traveled, you know, in a box.
Square.
In a square, because you had three tribes on each side. So basically it was a square. 48,000 miles, you're talking about approximately close to 9 miles by 9 miles. Okay? Now, when the Jews were traveling in this area, there are two massive mountains that were mamish next to each other. We're going to see in the Psukim also they call it. They were mamish next to each other. To the extent, the Medrash says, when one guy was standing on the mountain, he was able to talk to the next guy on the next mountain. That's how close they were together. And in fact, it said it was like 7 mil distance between the two mountains. So obviously, if the Jews had to go through, they had to squash in like a little bit to go through. So what happened? The Goyim, it says all the Goyim from Canaan even, heard that this is the Jews are traveling through this area. So they got all the strong people from Canaan, and they said like this, we're going to stand on top of the mountain, in the caves, an ambush. And when the Jews walk by, we're going to throw stones down, and arrows, they have the advantage of the height, and we're going to kill them all. That was their plan. What the Jews didn't know was that Hashem took the both mountains, and in fact, they say, one had places sticking out, and one had inclines. So Hashem actually took the two mountains and crushed them together, that all the people in the mountain died, and blood was gushing out in rivers. Now, the Jews, the Medrash says, were unaware of that miracle, because they were walking, this was behind them.
Why, it lived like in between?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, there are two guys, this is what the Medrash says, there are two guys, Shnei Mitzuroim. One was Vohev and one was S. There were one guy was S and Vohev. Now they were Besufa, Besof. They were like Sufa simply means like the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. So Sufa in the English and in the Mephoshim, most Mephoshim Taich, that explained it to mean that it was actually reeds. But the Medrash says, that there were these two guys that were lepers, so they were outside Michutz L'machaneh, so they were the last ones traveling. So they were the ones that saw the miracle. And they were the ones that told the Jews the miracle that happened. Because it happened after the Jews went through, and these guys were outside of the Jewish camp. So they were able to see what happened. And then Me'amleh is a Zavai B'sufa. So, and this is what the miracles of these various different places that took place, and you know.
Well, the river, say Yang. The river, the crash and go river.
The mountain crashed. All the people died, and blood started coming out like a river. Yeah, Medrash. Which Medrash?
It's right in the commentary book.
Because it's the first time I heard about the explanation of Et Vahem Besufa. This is the first time.
Okay, it happens to be a Gemara in the ninth parak of Brachas.
Which Midrash, Rabbi?
No, it's a Gemara at the end of, in the ninth parak of Brachas. Brachot, Gemara. Yeah. Anyway, so this is... Well, no, this stuff in Gemara is also called Medrash. You have the term medrash. It's like those things are not practical halacha. Okay, so this is what happened. So like we said, the Mepharshim explained, Hashem told the Bnei Yisrael, don't start up with Moav. But Amori conquered this land from Moav. So then they're able to have all these fights and all these... Okay, and he brings down that the Chachamim of that generation, the Rambam brings down, that the Chachamim of that generation, those generations, used to write in books all the stories about war stories and so on and so forth. And this was called, for the Jews, wrote it Mochemes Hashem, because Hashem was fighting the wars of the Jewish people.
Is still the book is alive?
Is it
still there?
No. Vasefer Zed Neved Begolus. In Golus, it got lost. All to the other form that they had, like, Nosin HaNavi wrote a Sefer, Ado HaNavi wrote a Sefer, Divrei HaYomim Shomachi Yisrael, those are history books that the kings wrote, all those books got lost. Because Hashem obviously didn't want them for us. They're not relevant for us, so then... B'chlau, you should know, the Nevi'im that we have, the Gemara says this in many places, Nevu'ah Shehit Sarech L'Deiris Nichtavu. Nevuah Shalohut Srech L'Deiris L'Nichtavu. The Gemara says, the prophets, all the Nevi'im, yeah? Starting from Moshe, Yeshua, all the Nevi'im, yeah? They said thousands and thousands of prophecies. Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, all those people, Trei Oser, they said thousands of Nevuah. But we don't have all the Nevuah. So the Gemara says, the prophecies which were relevant for all future generations to learn from, those were written. Prophecies that were only relevant for them, that's it. The Gemara says there were seven women prophets, prophetesses, whatever. But their prophecies are not written, because it wasn't relevant. Anything in Torah, which Hashem wants in relevance for all future generations, that became Torah, and otherwise it's not. There's a book called Yosefun. Josephus is called in English, yeah? Yosefun was written in the time of Churban by Yesheni. Okay, that Sefer is brought down in Halacha, about learning it and reading it on Shabbos or things like that. It is a, in Halacha, in Torah, it's an accepted authority in history, but the book of Yosefin has no Kedush of Torah. It's a history book like any other history book, written at the time of Churban Beis Hamikdash by a Jew, I think, was Jewish, but it doesn't have a din of Torah, it's not a chelik of Torah. You can take Yosefin into the bathroom. I mean, it's not the din, it doesn't have the Kedush of Torah. I don't know. I don't know. Now, there's another interesting thing when it says "Esvoy Besufa." This, the Gemara uses this pasuk for another interesting thing. The Gemara says, "Talmidei Chachamim that argue in Torah, argue and yell and scream at each other, but Esvoy Besufa." Vahiv comes with Ava. Ava, at the end, they're best of friends. In other words, when you're arguing, you get into a fight, me and you business or whatever, goodbye. But when they argued in Torah, and this you find, the Gemara says, Beishamim Beisilu. Yeah, you couldn't have bigger arguers than those. But the Gemara says they were best of friends, they intermarried Beishamim Beisilu. They were the mamish, very good friends. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk, "Vezvoiv besufa." When it's but they add to it, when it's sefer milchemes Hashem, when the milchama is for Hashem, meaning you're arguing in kedusha l'shem shemayim and Torah, "Ezvoiv besufa." The end is your best of friends. And this is the Gemara uses this expression when there's milchemes Hashem, when there's a battle for the kedusha, not personal fights. When there's a fight in Torah, whatever, then you have Ezvoiv Besufa, they become best of friends at the end. There's no problem with anything of war. Like I said, Hillel Shammai or the other people, the Tzadikim. Listen, Abayi and Rava argued a lot, and they were best of friends. I mean, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, go through the Gemara. You know? And even today, you know, when two guys kids are learning yeshiva, yeah, I'm talking about Bochrim, right? They're learning yeshiva. And they're learning a piece of Gemara, and they're yelling at each other that you don't know what you're talking about, what the Gemara means, or this. They're yelling and yelling, you know, say this over to go to lunch, they're walking out together, and they're talking. I mean, there's no fighting going on. It's nothing to do with the person. You want to know what the Gemara says, what Taisa says, whatever. Okay.
Is it a Hebrew word?
No. What?
We have Besufa.
Yeah.
Hebrew word?
Why? No, it's tight. It's Hebrew. Lashon Kodesh. Yeah. Okay. The Eshet HaNecholim and the outpouring of the valleys. Ashenata L'Sheves Ad, that it veered to dwell of Ad, Nishan L'Gvul Mayav, leaned against the boundary of Mayav. And this is what Rashi says. This is what Rashi says. That's when the two mountains banged against each other and the people died. Sham Be'eda. Okay. And from here to the well, from there they came to the well. He abe'er asher amar Hashem l'Moshe, that Hashem said to Moshe, asef es ha'am, gather the nation, ve'et no lohem mayim, and I'll give them water. Okay, so this is the well. From there they came to the well. Which well are we talking about? The well of the 40th year. No. After the water stopped, like it says, asef es ha'am, ve'et no lohem mayim. So Rashi says, who's going to tell all these things? So it says, the Jews saw the miracles, the Jews saw the well. The well is when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, yeah. But water came out. So this is all the miracle that the Jews saw. Okay, but it says like this. Az Yashir Yisrael es Hashir Azais. Then when the Jews saw all these miracles, right, the two mountains collapse and all the nations died, and they had the well and all the miracles that they saw and all these various journeys that they had. So then the Jews sang the song, Ali Be'er Enula, come up well, call to it. Be'er Chafura Sarim, a well that the ministers dug. Karu on the Diviyam, the nobles of the people carved it out, hewed it out. Through the lawgiver with the walking sticks. Okay, this is what the Pasuk says. What does the Pasuk mean?
It's poem.
It's poetic, yeah. But it's Torah. You have to understand that. Torah, poetry and Torah is also very holy. We learned already, it's interesting, the Baal HaTurim says it before in Chumash, and the Pasuk, Oz Yashin Moshe. Yashir is Yudshir. He brings down that throughout history, the Baal HaTurim Parshas B'Shalach enumerates all 10. When the Jews, from the beginning of Shira until the end, until Mashiach, the Jews sang Shira 9 times. You have Atasha Dveira, you have this as Yashir, you have the original as Yashir, you have a bunch of 9 times that the Jewish people sang Shira. And the 10th one, the Medrash says, and the Baal HaTurim says, that's a Yashir is a hint for Lassad Lavi when Mashiach comes. So it's going to be Yud Shir. Then it's going to be the 10th, Shir is going to be Meshav Bnei Yisrael when Tchis HaMeisen, and Rashi says, when Mashiach comes. But at this time, when the Jews saw all the miracles, especially with the well, so the Jews started singing Shir HaTashem. Yeah? So there's a few questions over here. First of all, why doesn't it say Oz Yashir Meisha B'nai Yisrael? What happened to Meisha Rabbeinu?
He's not here.
The Jews saying it. Before Chumash, you had Oz Yashir Meisha B'nai Yisrael. Why wasn't Meisha part of this? So the Mefarshim say like this. Meisha Rabbeinu, because he hit the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, so it's like, but for him, it wasn't a complete shir, because of this, he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like, and also not only that, if you look in this shira, it's interesting, Hashem's name is also not mentioned. By Oz Yashir, yeah? Oz Yashir, Ashir al Hashem ki go ego. You look at the Haftarah of Bishalach, when it speaks about Vatosha Dveira, yeah? Baruch Hashem, Anechel Hashem Anechel Shira Azamer LaHashem Elokei Yisrael. This Shira, no Moshe Rabbeinu, no Hashem mentioned. Why? So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't mentioned because this bear didn't, you know, he caused him to die in Chutz Lartz officially. And then they give a marshal of a melech. A melech that was invited to a party. The king was invited to the party. So the king said, if my friend's invited, I go. My friend's not invited, I'm not going. Hashem said, Moshe's not there, I'm not there either. Take my name out. It's the only shir, by the way, that the name of Hashem is not mentioned. So this is what it says.
What? You think it's the big question over here? Moshe Rabbeinu, he does understand God. If he told him not to hit the rock, and he hit the rock. Now, don't agree with it, Moshe Rabbeinu?
Moshe Rabbeinu only spoke Yiddish.
But they told him very clear, don't hit the rock.
If you would have been in the Chumash class when we learned that pasuk, you would have understood it. That's few weeks.
It's not for now.
It's not for now.
He spoke to the rock. The rock hid, and he spoke to the wrong rock, and then the whatever. The whole story. Okay. Yeah, the whole story would happen. Okay, so it says like this. They said like Ali Be'er and Ulo. Now what does it mean, by the way, Be'er Chafurah Sarim? Who is the Sarim and who's Karua Nadivei Am? The Pasuk is saying two things. The Sarim dug the well, right? And Nadivei Am. Okay? The princes and the nobles of the people. What is the double expression? So, the Nefashim explained like this. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they're the Sodim that made the well. It was in their Schus. Right? After Miriam died, he came back in the Schus of Moshe and Aaron. But the Medrash says like this. The Be'er, it's a very interesting concept. The Be'er gave water for all the Jews. Now you have to understand. The Be'er gave water to drink to all the Jews. Yeah. It was the mikveh for the Jews. How did the women go to mikveh in the midbar? Well, how did the men go to the mikveh in the desert? I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu went to the mikveh every day. No, he spoke to Hashem, I'm sure he went to the mikveh. The women had to go to the mikveh. People that became Tommy had to go to the mikveh. How did they go to the mikveh in the midbar? So it says in the Medrash, the Be'er was the mikveh, and the animals drank, and the people drank. It was multi-purpose well. Now, just think about it. The well is here, okay, and how did all the Jews around get the well when they landed somewhere? When they camped, they landed in a place, yeah? Okay, so, the well, how did it work? So this is what it says. Karua Nadivayam. The princes were this. The heads of each shevet took a stick and they carved in the sand. They made a mark from the place of the Be'er, which was around the Mishkan, all the way to their tribe. So they took a stick and they actually went, they made a mark on the ground all the way to there. And when they made the mark, the water went there.
It was like rivers, I
heard. Yeah.
You have to take a boat, I mean a bark.
It said, in fact, it says, I saw that the Medrash says that the women, when they wanted to go from one place to next, it's actually like a ship. One second. In fact, here, Afilu Isha. This is what the Mamleris brings down. Who is this from? This is from the Medrash. She says like this. Now listen. Isha shebiksha levikar chavrata. A woman wanted to go visit her friend, who went from tent to tent. They didn't need to go with her. She didn't need to walk. What is cedar? It's little boats, yeah? They had these little boats would go in the water. She put a GPS, she put the address where she wants to go, and the boat took her there. It was like unbelievable. So this is the double expression of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Chafaru Asarim, it was dug initially by the officers, that's Moshe and Aaron. Karua Nedivei Am, okay, the people, the princes dug it. B'mecheikik Misharesim, through a lawgiver with their staff. Okay? Now, some of Farshim learn, by the way, why does it say the double expression, Chafuro Sarim Karua Nedivayam, the double expression? So another interpretation of Farshim say is because there was twice the will. Once in B'shalach, in the Schus of Miriam, and then when she died, it came back. So there are two wells. So because of that, you have the double expression. But other Mefashim learn, no, this is actually two different things. Moshe and Aaron dug the well, meaning they made it happen, and they made it go to all the tribes. Now, B'mecheikik M'shalneisa means the lawgiver through their staff. Who is the lawgiver? So it says at the end of Zeis HaBracho, Moshe Rabbeinu. Huh? Moshe was called M'chaikik. The Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Here, Kisham Chalkas Mechaykek Sofun. There, the grave of the Mechaykek. One, the Mechaykek. Here, the meaning is the one that gave the chayk, the laws. So, the one that gave the laws, Moshe Rabbeinu. So, the Mechaykek Mishaneisam. Why is it say Mishaneisam plural? Staffs. It says, the lawgiver, their staff. There was one lawgiver, Moshe. Why is there? Because the staff that could belong to Moshe and Aaron. Aaron did miracles with the staff, and Moshe Rabbeinu did miracles. So it was one lawgiver, but the staff was called on both names. In a deeper level, okay, let's just finish this up first. Umimidbar Matana, and from the desert was a gift, meaning the Torah. Umimatana Nachlil, simply, by the way, these are names of places. But it says, Matana, they went to Nachlil. From Nachlil, they went to Bamais, to high places. Umibamais, Agayasher, Bistay Mayav. And from the heights of the valley of the fields of Mayav. Resh, Hapiska, the top of the peak. Nishkafat looked over Alpinea Yeshimin. Okay, this was the place where actually this miracle happened. Now in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, the Gemara quotes this pasuk as that it says, I think it's in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. Here. In Parak Shishi, in Parak Shishi of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says like this: "Chodos al aluchos al tikri chodos el acherus," meaning "Shein loch ben chayden el misha esik b'talmud Torah." The only freedom is when you learn Torah. "V'chol misha esik b'talmud Torah," then the pasuk says, the Mishnah says, "Whoever occupies himself in talmud Torah, hareza misana, misale, becomes elevated." Shenemar, and the Mishnah quotes this pasuk. Mimatana Nachliel Menachliel Bamis. Now, Matana means the Torah which was given as a gift to the level of Nachliel Nachala, Torah's inherits, Meroshe Kehilas Yaakov, and from that you come to Bamis, you come to great heights. Meaning when a person occupies himself in Torah, so then the person reaches very great lofty heights that you wouldn't reach otherwise. So this is what the Jewish people are praising to Hashem, Ali Ber Anula, that the well comes up, and the water, and the miracles that happen through Moshe Rabbeinu, and the nobles, and so on and so forth. But Hashem is not mentioned here, because obviously, like we said, Moshe is not mentioned because of the rock, so Hashem didn't want to be mentioned either. In Chassidus, in the Maimer, it says a very interesting concept over here, of Ali Be'er. What does it mean, well, go up? Okay, So it says, when the neshama comes into a body, when the neshama comes into a body, it comes from the source, Be'er Mayim Chaim. It comes from the place of godliness. But when it comes down into a body, the neshama obviously suffers from lack of religious levels, that the spiritual levels that he had before. Nevertheless, it's a worthwhile journey. So it's called Yirida Tzeirach Aliyah, the descent of the neshama coming into the world. Granted, it's covered in the Yetzirah, and the body is covered with mud and dirt and all the spiritual garbage. But it's worthwhile because through this, the neshama is able to elevate itself to a place greater than the neshama was before. Because now it could do Torah mitzvahs, it could do mitzvahs, and by doing mitzvahs, the neshama becomes greater than it was before. Okay, so it says like this. Well, how do you explain the song of the well? The pure soul is compared to a well which is the source of ritual purity. When the soul's journey to the physical is superficially a spiritual regression, it goes down. He says, don't worry, because eventually it's going to be Ali Be'er. This well, this neshama, is going to have an aliyah to a place greater than it was before. So therefore, this answers the question we asked before. The Mefarshim ask, why doesn't it mention the Jews had the well for 40 years? Why didn't they mention it for the well of 40 years? Why is it only mentioned Ali Be'er now, going into Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is like this. Because in the Midbar, the Jews were not so heavily involved in the physical world. They had the Mon, the well, like we learned many times. Now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now in Eretz Yisrael, no man, no well, no clouds. They're going to be involved in the physical world much more. So the Yerida is lower. So if the Yerida is lower, then the Aliyah is greater. And therefore it's explained in Chassidus, in Maimarim, that why did they sing this concept of Ali Be'er at the end of the 40 years? Because the ultimate Aliyah is not when you're in the Midbar, like at the beginning of 40 years when they had the well. The ultimate Aliyah is when the Yerida is even lower. So now that they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, very soon, and they're going to have the more physical involvement of the world, so over there the Aliyah is greater. And therefore over here they waited until the concept of Ali Be'er, that they should elevate, because they're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. So now the real elevation began, because Yerida was much greater. But that's why. But other Mefarshim answered the question, by the way, that why did they sing this Shira now? And he says, no, the Mefarshim Chumash didn't say it. He doesn't bring it down. I thought he brought it down. Why they didn't say the Shira earlier? Okay, whatever. But they didn't sing the praise. So according to Chassidus, the explanation is because the Yerida is greater, and therefore, now. Here you have two aspects, just for a few minutes. You have two aspects in this pasuk, both speaking about Torah. It says Matano and Nachliel. Okay? Both refer to Torah, b'mechaykik, the lawgiver, b'meshaneisam. So it says Torah is Matana and Torah is Nachliel. What is these two aspects in Torah? In fact, there's really a third aspect in Torah. It says Torah is also sold. Ki lekach tev nasati lochem, the Gemara said, lekach tev nasati lochem teirosi alta zevu, lekach tev means a good mekach, a good at buying. So we find three expressions when it comes to teira. We have matan teira, right, matana. You have teira tziva lonu meisha, modosha, kihilos Yaakov, inheritance. And you have the pasuk, lekach tev nasati lochem, I sold it to you. Why is Torah have all these three things? And two are alluded to in just in this passage, Matana and Nachliel. It's Matana and Nachla, which is Yerusha. Why does the Torah have these? Why does Torah have these three things? So it's explained that each one of these things, of the three, has an advantage that the other two don't have. And Torah has all three advantages together.
Combination.
What does it mean? It means like this. When I give you a Matana, a gift. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'noisein ba'ayin yofa noisein." When you give with a good eye. There's a whole parak in Baba Basra that deals. If I sell you a piece of land, did I sell you the road to the land or not to the land? It's a whole machlok. So, b'kivin the chab, do you sell with a good eye? Do you sell with a bad eye? You know, are you cheap? Are you not cheap? How does a person sell? But the Gemara says everybody holds by matana. If you give a maton because you want to. So call a naysing, but I and you're for naysing. You give with a good eye. So what's the advantage of Teda? When Hashem gave us maton, Teda, matona, Hashem gave it with a good eye. With good eye meaning, the Torah he gave us with a good eye meaning he gave us nicely generous, he gave us generous portions. What's the din of Yerusha? Nachlo. The advantage of Yerusha is a unique thing. A baby, the second they're born, hatinik, miyad sheyotza la'avid ha'olam, yore shakol. He gets everything. Yerusha, the baby doesn't even know it's born, doesn't even know it has a father, doesn't know who the father is. The din is, the second the baby comes out, he gets the whole Yerusha. Because mamash told, he can get billions of dollars Yerusha, he doesn't even know anything. Yerusha is automatic. And there's another interesting din by Yerusha. In Halacha it says, unlike partners, but Yerusha is, if there's, let's say, five kids, and all five inherit, halachically, in concept, it's not that each kid gets a fifth. Halachically, each kid, forget the Bukhar for a second. Each kid gets it all. Because the pasuk tachas avisacha yubanacha. The children are in place of the father. Halachically, according to, not practically, but conceptually, each child inherits the whole Yerusha. But five kids can't have the whole Yerusha. So you divide it up into five, practically speaking. But in Inyan, each child gets it all. What does this mean by Torah when you say Torah is Marosha Kilas Yaakov? Every Jew, you could be a baby just born, meaning know nothing about Yiddishkeit. Like nothing. You have the whole Torah. And it's not that there's 600,000 Jews and each one has a 600,000th of the Torah. Every Jew automatically has the whole Torah. That you don't have by Matana. So there's a mila by Matana. The advantage of Matana is when you give it, you give with a good eye. So you're giving generously. Nachla Yerusha, Nachliel is the concept that you get it all, even if you don't know about it. That means you could be a Jew who doesn't even know he's Jewish. He has a chela container.
Even if you don't deserve it,
he doesn't even know he's Jewish. He doesn't know Torah. He doesn't know nothing. He gets it. And quickly, the last thing is Mekach. What's the advantage of buying? We all know that when you pay for something, you treat it differently than if you get it for free. You appreciate it more. In fact, the story, the previous Rebbe, when he came to America, he started printing, you know, pamphlets about Yiddishkeit. So even though he had sponsors, but he wanted to charge then a nickel was decent money, you know. He said, people should pay 5 cents for it. Why? Because if they pay for it, they're going to appreciate it, they'll keep it, and they'll look at it, and after I paid for it, you know, you want to get your money's worth. So Torah has all three advantages. Torah is Matana is Nachliel, and it has the din Lekech Tov Nasati Lechem. Because the Torah needs to be appreciated as if the Jews paid for it. And these are the three great aspects of Torah. Okay.